Hi, once again, welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Well, it's a Food Friday, and seafood is the special today. Whether you're a fan of salmon, lobster, shrimp, or mussels, or all of the above, there are a million and one ways to cook it, serve it, and eat it. It's also been an undeniable mover and shaker in the history of our cuisine. Whether you eat it or not, we've got two of the region's foremost seafood experts in the studio with us today to answer your questions about the ocean's bounty. Chef Bruce Mattel is an associate professor in culinary arts at the Culinary Institute of America. He has worked at a number of fancy schmancy restaurants, including Le Bernardin. Prior to joining the CIA faculty, he was chef and owner of Custom Cuisine, a catering company and gourmet shop in Tarrytown, New York. Chef Mattel, nice to have you here.
Nice to be here. Thank you.
Also joining us is Dennis Ehrlich, president of Pesca & Company, a specialty seafood purveyor in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, since 2009. Also a CIA grad. Dennis, nice to have you here.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
You can give us a call right now. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. You can also post your comments at the bottom of today's show page on the Vox Pop section of our website, WAMC.org/VoxPop. You can comment below today's Vox Pop wall post on our Facebook page, facebook.com/WAMC Radio. You can tweet your questions and comments at WAMC Vox Pop. You can even email us, voxpop@WAMC.org. But again, the number to call with your seafood-related questions, 1-800-348-2551. Well, before we get too far into the subject matter at hand, let's find out how our guests got to this point. Now, Chef Mattel, you grew up in the Bronx, right?
I did.
And you had mentioned to me that you ate a lot of seafood, but it wasn't necessarily very good in the old days.
We didn't eat that much, but I kind of was brought up lower middle class. And,
yeah.
You know, we had a lot of vegetables, some cheap meats, and once in a while we'd have some seafood.
Piece of fish, yeah. Yeah. And now, how did you take this route and make this your specialty?
Well, I attended the Culinary Institute of America. I graduated in 1980, and I went into New York City to work in French restaurants, which were kind of the restaurants at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's much more eclectic. And I was fortunate to work in some good seafood restaurants, Le Bernardin being one of them. I was fish butcher for the first 3 months that I worked there, so all I really did was cut fish. And then I sort of graduated into the kitchen where all of us were what we call poissonniers or fish cooks.
Yeah.
All of us were, but there were certain stations and I passed through those stations and eventually left there and started my own business.
And Dennis, you also went to the Culinary Institute, worked in restaurants, and now you're not really working in restaurants, you're providing for the restaurants.
That's correct. That is correct. It was by chance that I kind of ended up doing this. I moved out of New York City hoping to get back into the restaurant business. I had a place down in the financial district, which was near the old Fulton Fish Market. And I moved back up, and I didn't find a restaurant. I didn't find something I wanted to do, and I started cooking in different places. And I found that there wasn't a lot of seafood around. It wasn't great. And with my familiarity with the Fulton Fish Market, I thought this was something I could do. And this was 6 years ago, and I've been doing it ever since, and I've been loving it. It gives me an opportunity to be in everybody's kitchen, not just my own.
You know, I sense that you may be New York born and bred as well.
How do you sense that?
Well, you know, I don't know. But I grew up around here, and obviously much further from the ocean, we didn't have much fish in my house. It was meat and potatoes.
Well, there wasn't a lot of fish in my home as well. There was a lot of hamburgers and lamb chops, I recall.
Which is nothing wrong with that.
Right.
Different
but,
show.
But as I got older and as I got more educated in what was out there, I started to eat fish. I love sushi. I love fresh fish, and in particularly in New York, there's a lot of availability of it.
Chef Mattel, you said before we started that one of the things you like to do is remind people to broaden their horizons a little bit. And so somebody like me, who is steak, potatoes, salad, take a chance. There are some great things out there.
Well, yes, and even when it comes to seafood, tuna, salmon, and shrimp make up the majority of what Americans buy in terms of seafood, and there are so many other more sustainable and delicious choices out there.
Such as?
Such as, for example, porgies, which are, they're called sea bream over in Europe, and they're a smaller, kind of soft, white flaky fish, and they're really sweet and delicious, and there's plenty of them around. Out of Massachusetts Bay, there is dogfish, which is kind of has taken over the habitat there.
Oh, and it is an invasive type of species?
Yes, and it's taken over the habitat there, and it is absolutely delicious. It's actually shark family, but it is the original fish and chips, what was used in Britain, and it is fantastic for that kind of preparation. Bottom line is, and I think, Dennis, you might agree, is that all fish tastes really good when it's handled properly and when it's fresh.
And when it's not handled properly and it's not fresh, it's bad. I know.
It is bad.
So maybe on this program we can give some pointers here. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We go first to John in Hyde Park. John, you're on.
Yes, I have a question about fish. I've been buying this tilapia fish from one of these clubs where they freeze it, and I hadn't realized that the fish actually was from China. So I called the company up out in Seattle, I guess it is, and they said, oh, no, it's good. It's but I hear different stories about China fish and tilapia. Is that, and I like the taste of it, but once I discovered it was from China, I became a little concerned.
Anybody?
I'll take that one. Well, tilapia is a very popular fish, and it is a farm fish, generally speaking, and it is, you know, a lot of it is farmed down in South America. And I find in selling fish that that's the preferred place to get tilapia from. South America, particularly Ecuador, has great product. I don't think you're going to get sick eating Chinese tilapia, but I think that the stuff from South America is a nicer product.
You know,
go ahead.
Just to comment on tilapia, sometimes tilapia might be a little muddy tasting. I mean, it's a farm-raised fish, and usually in intensive fish farming, so it's...
Now, what do you mean muddy?
Kind of muddy tasting. It tastes like if you swallowed a little bit of lake water.
You really? Okay.
So I would recommend to John that, you know, you try to look for some... If you really like tilapia, you should look for origin of South America, like Dennis said, and then kind of compare the two in taste.
John?
Well, this has been good fish. Tastes really good. It doesn't have a muddy taste, and each individual piece is frozen and wrapped. And actually, it was a fish that I found that I said, "Wow, this is pretty good tasting." So, but then of course, when I see China on there,
it's a long way to go. Tell me about the freezing process. This is okay, and you guys are all right with this, chefs?
Well, Dennis, I don't think it's a quality issue.
It's,
I mean,
not.
The technology's there for freezing.
Flash freezing is okay.
Uh-huh.
It's fine. There's a lot of great product that's that comes into the country frozen. Octopus is great frozen. Of course, shrimp. There's a lot of great frozen products. So frozen is not a problem, and really, China is not a problem either.
Well, this company's out of Seattle, and when I called them, they said they monitor it, even though it's frozen in China and shipped over, and then packaged in their packages, they reassured me that it was good, and they sounded legitimate, but anyway, well, thank you very much.
Yeah, thanks, John. I appreciate it. What about safety issues as far as you hear about deep water fish and mercury and other countries? Now, I assume in the U.S. there are strict guidelines. No, you're rolling your eyes, Chef Mattel.
I would say that seafood is, it's sometimes kind of questionable questionable how it's regulated. There are a couple of certifying agencies like the Marine Stewardship Council and others that maybe certify certain types of fish, especially if the fisher people are subscribing to that program. But other than that, there really is, besides an invoice, not always documentation about origin or time of harvest. I mean, with Moluscan shellfish, you do have a requirement, live shellfish, to tag it, and you have more information about that. But with other species, especially if they're fresh packed fish, and well, you know, Dennis,
well, in terms of mercury in particular, and sustainability in general, the further down the food chain you go, the better off you are. The big fish eat other fish, and the mercury accumulates, and you know, there's plenty of great small fish, clams, oysters, shrimp. All this stuff is very sustainable and very delicious.
Okay.
And that's the way I try to go.
We're going to take a break here. We are talking with Chef Bruce Mattel and Dennis Ehrlich. Seafood is the topic on this Food Friday. Back to the calls we shall go in a moment. 1-800-348-2551.
Support for WAMC comes from Cafe Capriccio, offering dining and catering with Tuscan cuisine in Albany, New York, and Neapolitan cuisine in Saratoga Springs. CafeCapriccio.com for reservations. Sundog Cider at Sulacqua, locally produced hard cider from New York Hudson Valley apples, unfiltered, naturally gluten-free, handcrafted at a revitalized solar-powered mill in Chatham, New York. Sundogcider.com. Hudson Valley Fresh Dairy, a partnership of 9 Hudson Valley dairy farms, providing fresh local milk, cream, sour cream, and yogurt to our neighbors. HudsonValleyFresh.com. Bel Air Music Festival, High Mount, New York, presenting Southside Johnny and the Asbury Jukes, Saturday, July 19th, BELLEAYREMusic.org. And the Glass Onion, Block Island, Rhode Island, since 1989, offering apparel, jewelry, body care, books, home and garden supplies, and kids' gear, featuring local vendors on the island's main street, GlassOnionBlockIsland.com.
It's Vox Pop on WAMC. It's a Food Friday. Ray Graff here along with Chef Bruce Mattel and Dennis Ehrlich, and your calls at 1-800-348-2551. We talk seafood today. Chris in Latham. Chris, you're on.
Hi. I want to talk about scallops.
All right.
First of all, what is the best time? I've heard different versions of it, but when is the best time of year to buy them, either for price, availability, that kind of thing, and also the difference between wet and dry, and why should I care? In other words, what difference does it make?
All right. Well, Chef Mattel first.
Well, Chris, there are several types of scallops, and then there are even types of those scallops. For example, you've heard, you know, sea scallops and bay scallops. Typically, bay scallops are a little smaller. Sea scallops are bigger. Diver scallops are often even bigger, that are harvested by hand by divers, then really, really expensive. Nantucket Bay scallops, which are excellent scallops. I think they're in like the fall, right?
They go from November 15th to April 15th.
Right. Those are one of my favorite things from the sea. Absolutely delicious. But I think you raised a good point when scallops reproduce, and actually they're hermaphrodites, so they kind of pick a sex somewhere along the way. And when they're reproducing, you ever see like pinker scallops? Those are often in their reproduction cycle. And in general, when these seafood products are going through the reproduction cycle, you know, they might give a little bit more energy towards the reproduction and be a little flatter tasting, but I don't think anything too dramatic. More importantly, I think, is your question about the wet and dry scallops. Wet scallops are treated with sodium tripolyphosphate, and they kind of preserves them and helps them soak up more water, but they're very, very difficult to cook, and they often have a little bit of a chemical background flavor. So that's the question to ask. And it's definitely advisable to pay a little bit more money for that dry pack scallop.
Dennis?
Yes, that's correct. Bruce is very correct. Scallops are tough. Scallops are throughout the year, they're regulated. The areas which are allowed to be harvested are regulated by the different states. And I find that during the winter months, it's usually closed. It's hard to get scallops in those months.
Yeah.
They usually open up in March and run through the summer, and that's a great time of year to be looking for sea scallops.
All right. Chris, you good?
All righty. Thank you very much.
My pleasure. 1-800-348-2551. And let's go over to Edward in Cohoes. Edward, you're on a Food Friday.
Hello. Good afternoon.
You're on.
Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon.
Hello.
I just came back from several days up in Maine around Algonquin, York, and Kennebunkport. Years ago, I owned a restaurant, so I inquired up there about lobster Newburgh. We even went online to find out about it. We went to several fine restaurants while we were there. Nobody had lobster Newburgh. One party said that, oh, that's an old dish. But we couldn't find any place had it. Do you know any reason why we don't seem to be able to get lobster Newburgh any longer?
You know, it is kind of an older style dish. I remember when I attended the CIA 30 years ago, we were taught to make lobster Newburgh, and in typical CIA fashion, it was awesome. I was really, like, I loved it when I learned that. But you don't see it a lot anymore. It's a very rich dish. And, you know, lobster, to be quite honest with you, when you go up to Maine, I don't think there's any better way to enjoy a lobster than, you know, steam with a little bit of melted butter or even a really good lobster roll. I mean, I guess I've gone full circle. I really appreciate the
simplicity. For those who don't know, what is lobster Newburgh?
Lobster Newburgh is pieces of lobster, and it's in kind of like a sherry cream sauce, like a tomato-y sherry cream sauce, if best to my recollection.
I'm going up. Did you go to Barnacle Billy's, Edward, when you were up there?
No, we were going to go there, but last night we went to a place by the name of Jonathan's, which was very nice. One of the members of my party had a double lobster, and I had bay scallops, and it was a very, very nice dinner.
Yeah.
And we one day for breakfast, we went to a place by the name of the Main Diner, and they have the reputation for the last 10 years of making the best clam chowder, and they claim that they have, for 10 years, they've been getting the award, but
wow.
We were at breakfast. We had to wait to go in for breakfast. That's how popular the place
you
was.
You had clam chowder for breakfast? Boy, that's
well, I didn't do that. I had a nice breakfast, and then yesterday when we came down, we stopped at a place by the name of the Egg and I and had a nice breakfast there, and then we came back down home.
Well, I tell you what, I'm going up in a couple few weeks with the family, and I'm going to try to find lobster Newburgh, and I'll let you know, all right?
Thank you very much.
Hey, thanks. Edward, thanks a lot for the call. One, it sounds delicious with the cream sherry sauce.
Yeah, as far as I remember, I haven't really had it long.
So
time.
Times have changed?
Times certainly have changed, yes.
People are worried about the calories? Cholesterol? What?
I would imagine. So I think all, lighter dishes have become more popular.
Well,
the
that's sacrilege.
Stuff,
All right, here's one from email, gentlemen. This is from Brian in Duanesburg. We'll be traveling to Hong Kong and hoping to eat our way across the island. Is there any specific seafood we should seek out? Maybe something we don't usually see, spelled S-E-A, in Albany? Very clever, Brian. What do you think, guys?
I was in Hong Kong in 2000, I think it was 2001, and I just remember going to this floating restaurant, big floating seafood restaurant.
Yeah.
And there were these very simple, like whelks, like a conch, like a small little conch that were just out of this world. That was a great thing to look for. Anything?
Well,
there are pomfrets. Pomfret is a jack family fish that's similar to a pompano. Absolutely delicious if you could find that.
Okay.
I've never been to Hong Kong, but my advice would be is to eat as much stuff as you can that you can't find back here.
Good plan.
You know.
All right.
And stay away from the shark fin soup.
Oh, shark fin soup. And what about the blowfish? You have to prepare that specially.
That's more of a Japanese thing, but yes, you have to be.
Can
a
you
master.
Do that? Have you done
I
that?
I cannot no? do that. No.
No. No. Not even for people you don't like. It's my first try. Here you go, eh? All right, let's go to Joe in Warwick. Joe, you're on.
I just want to talk before you guys were talking about tilapia, and I had done some research on tilapia a while back. You probably don't want to buy any Chinese tilapia.
Why is that?
They have a bad reputation for their farms and what they feed them. From a lot of the research I did, they were not really clean. I mean, China has a reputation for having dirty waters. And I would just do more research before I'd buy anything from tilapia. You know, what's really interesting is in the Hudson Valley here, there's a company that I had talked to a while back called Continental Organics. And they actually raise tilapia in large tanks. And they take, you know, the effluent from the tanks, and they grow fertilizer, and they do other things. They grow vegetables. And then they sell their tilapia real close to market, and they just feed them organic food. It's in New Windsor. It opened up. They go out of their way to hire vets, too. So that's something in the Mid-Hudson Valley that you might look at.
Oh, fascinating. Yeah. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Beth in Niskayuna. Hi, Beth. You're on.
Yeah, I feel like we're dumping on that poor guy who called from China. I try to catch when I eat it, when I'm not on the coast, which is I haven't been to the coast in 5-10 years, I try to get wild caught. But I noticed there's something on tuna fish you can get something called, there's a label that says rod and pole or truller caught, so you know that it's caught not by one of those huge, huge ships that with all the bycatch. So, knowing that, do these gentlemen know of another label to ensure that you're getting fish or whatever that is caught sustainably? But more, like I said, it actually says rod and pole caught. I think it's wild. It's an expensive can of tuna fish, but it's worth it. And it actually says rod and pole caught or rod and truller caught right on it.
Anybody? Dennis?
Well, we don't sell tuna fish in cans.
No, but is there something equivalent to that? When I'm buying fish, regular fish, sole, whatever, something, I usually buy wild caught because I don't like the thought of how they're treated in the farms. But when you buy wild caught, most of it is caught with those huge ocean liner type ships.
Okay.
Well,
and so what I'm saying is by comparison, you can go to a grocery store and see there's a couple of brands of tuna fish that are actually labeled that the tuna was caught by rod and truller.
Okay.
Is there something equivalent to that label when I want to go buy sole or whatever, dogfish or something? Is there a label equivalent to that so I know that it wasn't caught by some huge ocean
Okay, we
liner?
Get it. Anybody?
Well, there is, as I mentioned before, the Marine Stewardship Council, MSC. And if you see that label, it's usually certified that there is that fish is being harvested sustainably. Mm-hmm. Another recommendation I have for you, and although this isn't, you know, accepted by everybody, it's largely reliable, the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch Program.
Okay.
And you can look online. Look at their Seafood Watch Program, and they kind of have species, at least.
Right.
That are going to be kind of in a red light, yellow light, green light format. And
right.
You might be able to make some better choices using that tool.
Beth, thanks a lot for the call. The number to call here on a Food Friday is 1-800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. We're joined by Chef Bruce Mattel and Dennis Ehrlich, and we talk fish and seafood today. Yvonne in Rensselaer, you're on.
Hi. I have gone down to Chinatown every time I go down to New York City, and I walk just before I leave. There's always this one big fish market. What would be the best time of day, number one, to buy fish from those people, and how would be the best way of getting it home?
Well, of course, you want to go when they're getting the fish, okay? So I would say that you don't want to buy it on a Saturday or a Sunday. because the fish markets are not open, so they're not getting it on those days. And so during the week is best. If it's outside and it's sitting on ice, you're probably best off early in the day rather than buying fish that's been sitting there all day. And you should really let them see. You should make sure you see the fish. You want clear eyes. You want red gills. You want firm flesh. You know, if they won't let you handle the fish, you ask them to press down on the fish, and it should spring back pretty quickly. It shouldn't just keep an indentation. And those are all the signs of fresh fish. And as far as getting it home, you just need a way to keep it cool. You need a cooler and some gel packs or ice.
Ice. Okay, so if I layered it like an ice and stuff, I can get it home. Because half the time I'm taking the train.
Taking it on the train with you. Brilliant.
But that's okay. You know, it's like, you know, I do my shopping down there, I come back up here. And it's just that, anything that's still swimming, should they completely clean it for me before I take it?
Well, you know, they probably can do a better job cleaning it than you, and also a clean fish, I think, travels better. Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll try it next time I go down.
Well, okay, Yvonne, thanks a lot. We appreciate the call. It's Vox Pop on WAMC, 1-800-348-2551. Jill in Waterford. Hiya, Jill.
Hello. Hold on one half a second.
Okay.
So I can pull over.
That's a good plan.
I'm on a bicycle.
Oh, you're on a bicycle.
That's awesome.
Good job.
Anyway, yeah, the Erie Canal Tour from Buffalo.
Why don't you do some fishing?
Sorry.
I don't know about that.
Riding him away.
No.
I want to know what happened to bluefish. And I don't mean Boston bluefish. I mean the real bluefish that you catch in New Jersey or Long Island, or because I haven't been able to find bluefish for like the last 3 years. And when I spoke with a seafood merchant down in New Jersey, he said that the price went so far into the roof that it's not worth selling anymore. And I absolutely adore bluefish. My grandfather used to catch it when we were kids.
Okay.
And I love it, but I can't find it anymore. What's going on?
Maybe Dennis, start with this.
You know, I bluefish, as with a lot of species of fish, has become a little less available, but it's out there. I'm selling it. It's a little pricier. And like I said, it's a little less available, but it's there. Maybe you need a new fishmonger.
Is it something where another country has developed a taste for it, and it's like bourbon, where it's now twice as expensive because the Japanese like it?
Not bluefish, because it's an inexpensive fish. It doesn't make economic sense to start, you know, shipping it around the world. It's a local product,
and it's
sold locally, and a lot of people love it. A lot of people like it smoked.
Smokes well. It's high fat. But the thing about bluefish, and Dennis, I don't know if you agree, it is ultra perishable. It's one of these fish that maybe somebody might not carry it because they can't get the shelf life out of it and turn it over as well. Bluefish is.
Well, it's always been hard to find in the capital region. A lot of times I've had to go to New Jersey to buy it, but
so it's perishable.
I can't find it there anymore.
It's perishable even if it's on ice or deep freeze.
It of course it's gonna be like any fish, last longer that way. But from my observations, it definitely loses quality faster than other species.
It does. It turns very soft on you quickly.
Well, sorry.
Okay, so where in the capital region can I find it? Is there any specific market?
These guys really aren't from the greater Albany area, so I think you'll have to let us know next time.
Sorry, Jill.
Okay, that's all right. Thanks anyway.
Thanks a lot. Good luck with the Erie Canal Tour. Let's go over to Susan in Sunderland. Susan, you're on.
Hi. I wanted to ask about the best way for a
preparation of scallops. I love scallops, but I always overcook them, so I don't buy them anymore.
A common problem. Sure. Chef?
Well, I like sea scallops. I like all scallops sautéed or seared. And the thing is that you don't want to overcook them. Actually, if you like items that are sautéed, you want to get a really, really beautiful brown color on them. But in my opinion, the scallop should be just completely warm through and not even slightly undercooked in the center. The way you do that is to make sure that you get the dry pack scallops and you pat them dry as well. Season them just before you put them in the pan because you don't want the salt to draw out moisture. And then you want to have a pan that is, you know, nonstick, and not necessarily a nonstick pan, but a pan that is dry and things won't stick. Get it really, really, really hot. Put the scallops in, let them sit there for a little bit, flip them over and just kiss the other side, and then serve them.
Okay, so don't overcook.
Would you use oil in the pan, olive oil?
I usually use olive oil, but not extra virgin. You don't want an oil with a low smoking point. You want something a little bit more refined. So like a pure olive oil, a rice bran oil, a canola oil will work really, really
well. Grape oil?
Grape seed oil, yes, actually has a very high smoke point. It's an excellent choice.
Just a quick question. I've heard that, like tilapia and other farm fish, that there's a whole question about they're way overpopulated in their ponds and safety issues, like, you know, when you have too many hens in one place and safety issues there. Could you speak to that?
Well, there is some pretty widespread use of antibiotics in farm-raised fish, and it's the way they keep it kind of safe. But more than anything, I think you're looking at, sometimes with overpopulation, you're looking at some quality issues, you know, more of that muddy taste and just more taste issues than anything else.
Okay, Susan, thanks a lot for the call. We'll take a break here at 1-800-348-2551. We'll be back. Home stretch, the lightning round coming up with Chef Mattel and Dennis Ehrlich, and yours truly, Ray Graff.
Support for WAMC comes from Terrapin Red Bistro, serving mac and cheese, quesadillas, natural beef burgers, tapas, craft beer, and local wine, lunch, dinner, and late night in a bistro atmosphere. TerrapinRestaurant.com. The Preservation League of New York State, Albany, New York, protecting New York's historic buildings, districts, and landscapes since 1974, preservenys.org. Adirondack Creamery Ice Cream, crafted with local milk, cream, sugar, and eggs, and no artificial additives. Flavors such as White Face Mint Chip available at Adams Farriker Farms, Whole Foods, and other specialty grocers, adirondackcreamery.com. Shakespeare & Company, celebrating Shakespeare's 450th with works by and about Shakespeare, including A Midsummer Night's Dream, Julius Caesar, Shakespeare's Will, and the complete works of William Shakespeare abridged, shakespeare.org. And Mountain Flame, presenting the SE990 cast iron wood-fired three-oven cooking and heating stove from England in 20 different colors. Showroom, Route 28, Arkville, New York, mountainflame.com.
Vox Pop on WAMC. It's a Food Friday, a rollicking good time as we talk seafood here with Chef Bruce Mattel and Dennis Ehrlich. The number to call is 1-800-348-2551. Sid in New Hartford. Sid, you're on.
Hi. I have always been partial to the fattier fishes like bluefish and mackerel. And I have since learned that they are fatty because they are highest in the omega-3 fatty acids. I then learned that these are number one on the heart-healthy list of foods. So I've been sort of pushing it on friends that have a cardiac history. I'm wondering if there are any other fish that fit that qualification, which also tastes as good as they do. And where do mussels stand in terms of omega-3?
Well, first of all, salmon, wild salmon, is very high in omega fatty acid.
Another one that I love.
Very delicious. And, all the fatty fishes, basically, are fatty from the omega fatty acids. But mussels, I do not think, are high in that. I can't imagine that they are.
Not sure myself.
You know, Sid, literally during the break, we're off mic having a chat, and Chef Mattel said, I want to get the message across that fatty meat, not so good for you. Fatty fish, great for you. And now you brought the point home, Sid.
And incidentally, for that lady who can't find bluefish, here in central New York, there's a guy who drives a truck around certain places in central New York with an assortment of fish that he sells off the back of the truck, fresh. He's in my town on Thursday mornings, in Fayetteville on Wednesday afternoon, and he carries bluefish. And as you said, it's not overly popular. Not many people buy it, but those that do all love it.
Yeah, yeah,
so I wish I have his name and phone number. I don't know if there are any others like him around, but...
We really don't want to advertise per se,
that's
Sid.
Why I put it that way.
I
in case you wanted to take it on the side, have your clerk take it.
Yeah, why don't you send us an email to Vox Pop and we'll take the information.
I will do that.
Thanks a lot. Go ahead, Chef.
Quick comment that you brought to mind was, you know, there are farmers markets all over the place now, and more and more you're seeing fish purveyors at farmers markets. And that's a good venue for that young lady who maybe couldn't find the bluefish. Even if they don't carry it, she could probably talk to them and have them get them for her. As long as they know that there's going to be an outlet.
Right. Now, Dennis, at Pesca and Company, you don't deal directly with the public, but do you do farmers markets at all?
We do not. It's 5 days a week keeps us busy, and we haven't done it. We've been considering it, but it's not something we've done.
Okay, let's go back to the phones. Barry and Saugerties. Barry, you're on.
Yep, I'm on.
Yes.
I have a question and also a piece of relevant information about farmers markets.
Okay.
The question is of Chilean sea bass. What is Chilean sea bass? I've heard it might be an endangered dogfish. And the piece of information is the Saugerties Farmers Market every Saturday does have Hampton's Bay fish, a wide assortment of fish, I think, including bluefish. I know scallops. And it's extremely good quality. It's very fresh.
Okay.
That's every Saturday on Main Street, 115 Main Street.
Chilean sea bass, otherwise known as Patagonian toothfish, is endangered, and it's very regulated, and it's not a first choice if you're worried about sustainability.
Okay.
Right.
All right. Well, thanks, Barry. We appreciate it. Let's go to Bruce in Kingston. Bruce, you're on.
Yeah, I was also interested in mussels, which I used to get it when I lived in Manhattan. I would go to the Fulton Fish Market, but that's long gone. And now I'm buying mussels. I just started buying mussels at the Kingston Farmers Market on Saturday. I had heard, but I don't know the details, that they're the most nutritious of the seafoods. But I don't know what the breakdown of that is. Do you know anything about that?
I see one head shaking.
I don't know too many seafood items that aren't nutritious, to be honest with you. I mean, yes, some of them are better choices, have higher omega-3 fatty acids. Some of them are known to... you know, maybe have higher levels of mercury that build up over time. But I think that mussels, you know, are up there on a list of really, really some great choices. And most mussels are cultivated these days. There's very, very little, if any, wild harvested mussels on the market. So they're nice and clean, and they're tagged, and they're easy to cook and absolutely delicious. So,
all right. And by the way, while we take a break here, I'll get right back to the phones. Manhattan or New England clam chowder?
I'm New England, although my waistline says Manhattan.
Is that a more caloric?
Yeah. Well, New England usually has dairy products, a little more salt pork or cured pork product. Yeah, roux. So.
What about you, Dennis?
Well, I am from New York City, but I would go with New England.
I got to go Manhattan
as well.
Okay, so I'm outnumbered here. Let's go to Mary Beth in Detroit, Michigan. Hello, you're on.
Yes. Hi. Hello.
Hi.
Yes, we're heading to Maine right now, and we were wondering how best to get back live lobsters, if at all possible. We have a large cooler, and is it possible? It's about a 19-hour drive.
Straight through, or are you going to stop overnight?
We're going to go. No, we're driving straight through.
Yikes. Okay.
Yikes. Right.
All right. So what do you think, boys?
Well, I think it could make it. They could come back live, I think, if you keep them good and cold. And I think you should try it. Otherwise, you can go online and have them shipped to you.
Right, right. Yeah, we thought about that, but you know, being as though we're here, we thought we'd take them home to some friends, and the cost. I'm not exactly sure. We were here 2 years ago, and they were very cheap because of the glut that year. But so you think just with ice, regular?
Well,
ice,
you should pack them in
water.
Wet newspaper,
yeah.
and then gel packs. Ice isn't the best thing for lobsters.
Okay.
Wet newspaper and gel packs.
Will they stay alive, though?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they will.
Really?
Wow. Okay.
Will they read the newspapers?
Yes, they will.
Okay.
Okay, great.
Mary Beth, where are you going in Maine?
Well, we're going to stop in Rockland first, and then we're going to head up to Bar Harbor.
Hey, good restaurant, Rockland.
Oh, yeah?
Primo's by the chef Melissa Kelly. Awesome place.
Is that the one right on the boardwalk?
I have not been there. I just know Melissa Kelly.
She's
I know
good.
What she could do, and
okay,
people
it's
rave
Prima?
About it.
Primo's?
Primo.
All right.
Primo.
Mary
oh,
Beth.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Drive safely.
Thank you.
Bye. Let's go to Tara and Pilsen. Tara, you're up.
Good afternoon. I'm very cautious about what I feed my daughter. I try to get organic, and as far as meat, you know, I do the best I can to get local whatnot. I want to move on to getting her some fish. Can you just maybe give me a couple of options that I could, you know, for a worried mother to feed her 3-year-old.
All right.
Well, I would try with something first that didn't have a very strong seafood flavor. Something mild, cod, flounder, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Like a nice white fish. And is there a location or some type of... what I should look for as far as like labeling and where it comes from that you'd suggest as being the best,
well,
and good on quality?
Flounder from the Northeast is just great, especially in summertime. And I would just talk to your fishmonger and ask him for something like that, something local, something that hasn't traveled. You know, you want something as fresh as possible. That's really the stuff that has the best flavor.
Okay.
And I recommend that you also, there are other cod family fish like haddock and hake and whiting, and mm-hmm. those are a little bit more sustainable these days than the Atlantic cod proper. So if you see haddock, it's great fish, and definitely hake. It's something that I think is a little less popular, but delicious, sweet flesh.
Is it readily available?
I think in the Northeast, especially in a good market,
hake is very available. Yeah. We sell a lot of hake. Hake is a delicious fish. It's very sweet.
Okay. And hey, Ray.
Yeah.
I'm a Manhattan clam chowder person myself.
Good for, you know what? Good for you, Tara. I knew you were a fine person. Thanks
have
for
a nice day.
Thanks for calling. Let's go to Mary in Catskill. Mary, you're up.
Oh, hi. What a wonderful show this is.
Thank you.
I had a quick question. I'm very curious about little neck clams. I used to see them on menus, and now I don't seem to see them. So I'm wondering what they are, where you get them, and a good way to prepare them.
Well,
I remember having them, and they were very good.
Mary, they're delicious, and, you know, they're harvested all up and down the East Coast. I find the better ones come from the colder water up north. But they are available, and they are delicious. I'm surprised you're not finding them on menus.
Yeah.
I mean...
But why are they called little neck?
It's the size.
Little. The size. It's a size thing.
It's a hard-shell clam from the Northeast. They're all quahogs.
Yeah.
And you have the little ones, the little necks, a little bigger, their top necks, bigger than that cherry stone, and then the bigger ones are chowder, and it's just really a matter of size and anything. But the little ones, little necks, and
little
top necks,
the most
raw.
Tender, also, the bigger they get, the they get a little tough.
Right.
Wow. That's so interesting. You taught me something. Thank you.
Thanks, Mary. We appreciate the call. Russ in Waterford. Russ, you're on.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hello.
I'm going down to Myrtle Beach in a few weeks, and there's a seafood place I wanted to try down there called Russell's Seafood, and they keep advertising that they have something called hogfish, and I don't know if you know what it is. I certainly never heard of it. Apparently, it's a local fish, and I don't know what it is.
I have heard of it, and I know that people down there are putting it on their menus because it's a good local choice, and there's plenty of it, but I don't really know much else.
I can't help you there. I'm sorry, Russ. We don't have it up here, and I'm not familiar with it.
Wow, you stumped the band. Way to go, Russ.
Well, there's no doubt that I intend to try it because I'm certainly curious and adventurous enough. If I'm going to drive 14 hours with four kids in the car, at least I'll treat myself to some fish that I've never had before.
Well, you'll deserve it. Hey, Russ, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Appreciate the call. Let's go to Lisa in Egremont. Lisa, you're on. Hello, Lisa.
Yes, hi.
You're there. Go.
I wondered whether, I have two questions, whether any of you have consulted the Monterey Aquarium website, because I understand, I've read that they list all the fish and kind of what's recommended and what warnings are out there. I don't know if you use that site. And then also whether you think in Chinatown in New York, what the quality of the fish is like buying, down there.
All right.
Well, it's a great website, Lisa. They're really an authority, and we do use it quite a bit. They come out with a monthly list of what's going on, what's sustainable, what you should stay away from, and it's a great site. As far as Chinatown, you can get good fish anywhere, and you can get bad fish anywhere. It's a matter of really just getting to know your fishmonger and looking for the signs of fresh fish. I mean, quality is about freshness, and you can find that almost anywhere.
Thank you very much, Lisa. Let's go to Cindy in Malta. Cindy, you're on.
Hi. Yeah, I love all kinds of seafood, and I'm willing to try to cook just about anything. And we've had some grilled octopus when I was out of the country that was absolutely delicious. It had a little barbecue sauce on it. But every time I've tried to cook it in any way, whether Italian style or grilled, it's so tough. I have tried parboiling it, beating it. Someone said to smash it up. And can you give me some tips on how to cook either baby octopus or adult octopus so that it's ready to put on the grill?
All right, you have about a minute and a half, Chef Mattel.
Quick. You're just probably not cooking it long enough. You need, all I do when I make grilled octopus, I put it in a pot. I start it actually in cold water. I bring it to a simmer. I simmer it for, it depends on the size, but a 3-pound octopus takes about an hour to get tender. I cut off a little piece, make sure it's tender, take it out, cool it, then cut it up and marinate it in olive oil and herbs.
For how long?
The marinade just could be a few minutes, could be as long as there's no acid in there. It could be even overnight. And then when you're ready, you just put it on a hot grill for a minute and get that little bit of grilling char, and it's ready to go.
So you put it in cold water and then marinade and then
right.
grill.
Simmer it for about an hour and then take it out, let it cool. I don't shock
it. When you're checking it, when you're taking out of the parboil, when you're checking it, you said it should be tender. Should it be tooth tender, almost tender enough to eat that way? Or
yes.
Okay,
that's what it should be, fully cooked. The grilling is just to get that finishing. Unless the baby octopus, like you said, just from the raw state, could go on a very hot grill and just barely cook them till they're cooked through, and then they'll be tender as well.
Well, Cindy, we're out of time, but thank you very much. And thanks very much to Chef Bruce Mattel and Dennis Ehrlich. And Bruce, you get the last word.
Well, just try different species. Next time you go into your fish store, or next time if you guys are in commercial operations and you call Dennis at Pesca, try something new.
Fair enough. Support comes from GG Trattoria, Rhinebeck, Hudson Valley Mediterranean. Since 2001, expanding their farm-to-table catering with their easy, entertaining seasonal menus online for small impromptu or large gatherings, gghudsonvalley.com. Craft producers presenting the Southern Vermont Art and Craft Festival August 1st through 3rd in Bennington, Vermont. A juried show with music, food, and entertainment. Craftproducers.com. The Bee's Knees Cafe, Preston Hollow, New York. Serving weekend lunch and Sunday brunch this month. Cooking class, Everything Chicken. Saturday, July 26th. Reservation required. Heather-Ridge-Farm.com. And Deerfield Cabinets, South Deerfield, Massachusetts. Providing all wood cabinets, granite countertops, and other built-to-order options for kitchen, bathroom, and throughout the home, DeerfieldCabinets.com. Thanks to Kimba for handling the controls. Your phones were answered by Colleen O'Connell. Our producer is Jessica Blaustein. Marshall, I'm Ray Graff. Have a lovely seafood-filled weekend. We'll see you on Monday. Alan will be here for Medical Monday.